Thank you, thank you. Good evening. Here we are in the heart of England. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, this is London. The state of England. Mr. Harold Wilson said today, the drain on Britain's gold reserves has finally stopped. They've all gone. Mr. Wilson added, we would all have had our backs to the wall by now, but we're so behind with the building program that the wall isn't ready.
Silence, please, ladies and gentlemen, while the groom cuts the cake.
Away, my wheel!
The British really are pretty adaptable. It was announced from Westminster Abbey today that the composers of the Rolling Stones songs, Mick Jagger and Keith Richard, are to be buried in Poets' Corner. Alive. The English, though, rarely say what they mean. They're masters of the tactful euphemism. Particularly in affairs of the heart, the Englishman never says what he really means.
We could go away together. Anywhere. Somewhere where the world wouldn't find us. Where we could be ourselves.
We could stay at a Bradford hotel under the name of Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Let's keep our love a wonderful secret.
Don't ring me at the office.
Let's not spoil our love with entanglements. Let's meet fleetingly, love fleetingly, and treasure each moment as it comes.
I'm married.
Rupert, I've got to see you urgently.
Rupert? She's got to see you urgently. It's very rare, though, for the Englishman to allow himself to talk or behave as he really feels. But he occasionally lets himself go. At a boxing match or a football match, or even more, behind the wheel of a car, he becomes a raving lunatic. The way people behave in cars in England, well, they'd never dare to behave like that as pedestrians. In a world of changing moral standards, road safety really is a great comfort. It's about the only thing everyone can agree is really right. For instance, they find it very difficult nowadays to break the Ten Commandments really convincingly. Very few of us have neighbours who possess an ox for us to covet. There was the famous case of the West End church, which had a printed sign outside it which said, "If you are tired of sin, come inside." And someone had written underneath, "If you're not, ring Bayswater." Mind you, our priests do their best to define sin for us.
"He who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone."
Mind you, it's not only priests who are ever mindful of the responsibilities of their position.
"Oh, I love you, Linda."
"No, Venom, please. We must retain some sense of propriety."
"Damn your bourgeois sense of propriety. Don't you see that your inhibitions are just the product of this repressive environment?"
"Oh, Venom, you make it sound so wonderfully simple."
"Good God, Linda, can't you forget just for once that you're a school mom?"
"All right, Venom, I will. I will."
"All right, get on with your work."
The priest and the teacher, two figures of authority. Though I suppose when one does think of authority in England, one does think first of the law, even if our courtrooms never quite come up to the standards of the courtrooms we see on television.
"I shall now pronounce sentence. Court. If there is any more noise, I shall have to ask the orchestra to leave."
And the judge, of course, in his turn, is dependent on the powers of detection of the traditional, wonderful English policeman. Only recently, a couple of officers were investigating the latest of these horse doping scandals, where horses were alleged to have been fed stimulants to help them win races. The police were naturally skeptical. The English have probably lost their excessive regard for public figures, but they still retain it for professional men, particularly chartered accountants and doctors. No matter what they hear about doctors prescribing drugs so powerful that you have to be in perfect health to take them, or as God said to Moses, "Keep taking the tablets," touch of vaudeville, or even the sad case of the plastic surgeon who sat in front of a fire and melted. Nevertheless, I suppose there is a reason for the position of doctors. They're so much less distressing to visit than our dentists. I mean, there's only one thing you can do at a dentist's. That's shut your eyes and try somehow to get away from it all.
Well, same time next Thursday, then.
The English still enjoy the remains of their class system. There was that superb judgment that the College of Arms gave to an anxious hostess, quote, "The Aga Khan is held to be a direct descendant of God. An English duke takes precedence." Indeed, there's one rich man in Chelsea who's so snobbish he won't even travel in the same car as his chauffeur. But how do the three classes in England see each other?
I look down on him because I am upper class.
I look up to him because he is upper class. But I look down on him because he is lower class. I am middle class. I know my place. I look up to them both. But I don't look up to him as much as I look up to him. Because he has got innate breeding.
I have got innate breeding, but I have not got any money. So sometimes I look up to him.
I still look up to him, because although I have money, I am vulgar. But I'm not as vulgar as him, so I still look down on him. I know my place. I look up to them both. But while I am poor, I am industrious, honest, and trustworthy. Had I the inclination, I could look down on them. But I don't.
We all know our place, but what do we get out of it?
I get a feeling of superiority over them.
I get a feeling of inferiority from him. But a feeling of superiority over him. I get a pain in the back of my neck.
The English are still pretty puritanical underneath. All the world loves a lover, but policemen still carry torches. At a wedding, the bride still wears white to symbolise purity. The groom wears black. Mind you, there are many different kinds of love.
You shouldn't spend so much time admiring yourself, George. Sometimes I think you're getting a narcissist complex.
Don't be ridiculous, Gwen. A narcissist is someone who's foolishly infatuated with himself.
Well, isn't that what you are?
No. With me, it's the real thing.
in general these days, then most people recommend a long engagement. It does make the marriage shorter. We have such curious standards, though. This was the Evening News quote. Said Judge Blagden today, a man who had been given the hospitality of his cousin's house and had subsequently committed misconduct with a cousin's wife had done something which morally was as bad as stealing the spoons from the dining room drawer. Not that there is much judges can do about it. All these prison escapes must be very frustrating for them. The governor of Wormwood Scrubs sent out a card last Christmas saying, Happy Christmas to all our prisoners, wherever they are. But what can you do if you're a governor? Prisoners must still be given their exercise, have their sports day, though even that at a prison can cause its own problems. Mind you, that sort of outdoor activity is still very much approved of. It's all part of that Puritan inheritance. On the one hand, you have rules like this one at a rather strict girls' school, quote, don't wear patent leather shoes, else men will see your underwear reflected in them. Think about it. And on the other hand, we open windows in cold weather and go for long walks. In fact, we found one masochist who likes a cold shower every morning, so he has a warm shower. Philosophical. And that's really the reason for all this nonsense about doom and crisis. We're affluent and enjoying ourselves, but that goes against the old Puritan conscience, so we have to tell ourselves we're in a terrible state, really, and then everyone's happy. Today, both political parties speak with exactly the same voice, neither daring to risk extinction by telling us there's nothing to worry about. That's why their statements, their promises of blood, sweat, and tears, their very words are interchangeable.
What we have to do now is to carve out a new place for Britain in the world.
And we will not trade this or any other principle with those who may be faint of heart or infirm of purpose.
But with imagination, with skill, and with determination.
We intend to get on with the job that you gave us to do.
We do so as we capture the hearts and the minds of our fellow citizens.
To take any other course would be an abdication of the responsibilities of government.
I believe that we can do it.
I believe that is what the country wants.
Wider still and wider shall our bounds be set.
So take no notice of all this gloomy talk. Britain is ready to take on anybody. England is the world's leading manufacturer of cricket bats, rugby footballs, Union Jacks, guardsmen's tunics, sheet music of God Save the Queen, and souvenir paperweights of the Tower of London. Although many of these are now made in Japan. Not to mention Swiss roll, which we manufacture under license. We're proud of our export record. We probably export more scientists and doctors than any other country in the world. The Ile-de-France was one of the world's greatest liners, but how many people know that British rivets were ordered for the welding of the hull? And if the Gozo is settled, they should be delivered any day now. That's a promise. Good night.